Will you pray with me? Father God, thank you for such a beautiful day this morning. As we woke up and we saw the sun shining, God, we have so much to be grateful for. God, I know we're all scattered around the world today, worshiping in our homes, but God, you are with us, each and every one of us. You're in our homes, you're here in this building, you are throughout the world, and so God, I just pray that you would preach your word to us this morning. Help us to know you more. Help us to love you more and to serve you more. Help us to understand the power that your Spirit has given us. And so, God, we love you and we pray all this in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning. So this is kind of weird for me. This is the very first time I preached in front of an empty sanctuary. This is a little different, right? It's a little weird. It's not completely empty. There's Doug and a few other people here, which kind of makes it a little bit more awkward because now it's kind of like I'm auditioning for some talent show or something, right? And like Doug's like the judge, and like if I do well, maybe I'll get a move in front of a live audience in Hollywood or something later on. I don't know. So we're all adapting, right, to our different situations of being quarantined. Like for you guys out there, there's no sports on TV right now. Like you're not able to tune into sports. And so at the end of the day, you go and you sit down on your couch and you realize that this woman sitting next to you is actually your wife. And you've talked to her a few times and she seems pretty cool. And so yeah, that's going real well. And also you've got these kids that are like always there. Right, like that, you can't like send them away to go somewhere. They're always there, and that's great. I know you love your kids. I love my kids, but let's be honest, right? Like I'm sure each and every one of you parents out there has considered selling one of them for a bottle of hand sanitizer. Like you would give up your firstborn for like just a pocket-sized Purell. Like that's all it would take. I know, I'm joking. We all love our children. I've actually had a lot of extra time with my children this last week. It's been a lot of fun, you know, getting some extra time spending with them. It also brings its challenges, right? Like I went in this last week to my daughter Shiloh's room. And you know my daughter Shiloh. I've talked about her a lot. She's 9 years old. She's beautiful. She's wonderful. She's so kind. She's like the nicest person that I've ever met in my life. And she's so mature for her age. She's only nine. She's so mature. And I think she's like a better parent to my other two kids than I am. And so I learn from her like every single day. It's awesome. But as great as she is, I got to be honest with you, she's kind of a slob. Shiloh was really, really messy. And so when I walked into her room the other day, a more accurate description is like I was tiptoeing through, you know, like a minefield of like clothes and toys and stuffed animals and dishes and Legos and arts and crafts projects like everywhere. And I'm like, Shiloh, what is going on here? And she goes, what? I was like, what do you mean, what? Like, this place is a mess. And she's like, Dad, this is just the way God made me. You know, God loves me this way. And I was like, well, you're right, right? Like, you know, she's teaching me a lesson. I'm like, no, I'm the parent here. I was like, what do you, like, this is a mess. No, you're right. God does love you, and he loves you in your mess. And I love you, Shiloh. I love you in your mess. But I also love you more or so much that I can't let you stay in that mess. Right, I love you too much. I can't let you stay in this mess. So go grab a shovel and clean your room, right? And so as we continue here at Pepsi at our series of The Beautiful Mess, right? The Beautiful Mess. It's an awesome series as we're diving through the book of 1 Corinthians, right? And we love that, right? We love the beautiful mess that we are the church. We, you know, it's kind of a freeing feeling. Right? It gives us some hope, you know, we are the beautiful mess. But what we need to realize is we need to realize that yes, God loves us. Yes, God created us each unique and beautiful, and sometimes that is messy, but God never intended for us to stay in that mess. He doesn't look down and go, oh, ain't that cute? My creation is a mess. My church is a mess. They're a beautiful mess. That's okay, church. You do you. You know, you just be that mess. No, I have to believe that our God, who is excellent, would look down at this mess and go, yes, you're beautiful. I love you. Now go clean yourself up. Right? You have to do better. You were created to be better. Yes, the church is a beautiful mess, but maybe it shouldn't be. Like maybe we were made for more. Maybe we should clean it up a bit, right? Like maybe we should put on our big kid pants on and grab a mop and a vacuum and a dust rag and pursue the kingdom of God with a little more excellence. Let us not settle for this mess. Let's do better. Let's live better. Let's love others better. Yes, you are exactly who God created you to be. Now be better. For this time in your life, you are who God made you, but he doesn't want you to stay that way. You are a masterpiece, but you are still in progress. He knows that we can do and be better. You know, if we let him, he will continue to shape us and mold us into less of a beautiful mess and more like him. Jesus is not a mess. Jesus is perfect. There has never lived a being more perfect and spotless and pure. Jesus is perfect. And we are never closer to being the church than when we look like Jesus. And so let's not settle for this mess. Let's learn how to make this church less messy. And so Paul tells us today, as we continue to dive into his letter to the church at Corinth, he says, I love you, church, but you can be a better church, and here's how. And so if you'll open up your Bibles or your Bible apps with me here, we're going to turn to 1 Corinthians 12, and we're going to be in the first 11 verses here. So here it says, it starts out, it says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand, no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are a variety of service, but the same Lord. And there are a variety of activities, but the same God who empowers them all and everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one, wisdom, and to another, the other utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. And so Paul starts off here in this passage and he says, concerning spiritual gifts, The Spirit of God is the most powerful source on earth today. And he says, concerning this power, this Spirit, I want you to know the variety of ways God's Spirit gets worked into our lives. You see, Jesus says in Matthew that all authority and all power have been given unto him. He says, all power has been given unto him. And he says, he is sending his Spirit of God to us. And before he rose to heaven, he said, you will receive that power. You will receive that power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you have that power through the Spirit coursing through your body. But concerning that power, Paul says, he says, I want you to understand how to wield it. I want you to understand how to control that power. I remember the very first time that I fired a gun. I remember I was just a boy. My dad, he was a police officer, and so I remember when I was a boy, he took me up to the mountains, and he had his service weapon. It was an old revolver. It was this really cool gun, and so he took me up to the mountains, and he sat me down, and he went over like all of the gun safety and the training and all that kind of stuff, and I was like, yeah, I just want to shoot this gun, right? And so finally, after all that, he sets me up, and he points me towards a tree, right? And then I hold the gun, I get it ready, and I'm about ready to, like, you know, I'm aiming towards the target on the tree, and my dad, I turn around, and my dad's like standing behind me like this. And I'm like, what are you doing? What are you doing back there? And he's like, you'll see. I'm like, okay. And so I just aim and I fire and the power of the gun, the recoil, knocked me back. And my dad was right there and he caught me. And he goes, you see? I told you. Right? You see, there was a power that came from that gun that I was not prepared for. It is the same with the power of the Spirit. There is a power that comes from the Spirit. And you are going to need some instruction on how to wield that power. And so Paul says, he says, I don't want you to be uninformed. I don't want you to be uninformed. He says, of the topic of spiritual gifts, I want you to be knowledgeable. I want you to be informed. He says that when you were pagans before, when you didn't know God, you didn't really know what you were doing, right? You were just being led from one idol to the next, following whatever just felt good at the time, you know, just thinking what everyone else told you to think, right? But now, Paul says, I want you to know for yourself. Now that you know God, he wants you to use your intelligence to seek and to understand and to know the spiritual gifts that the Lord has given you. And so in verse 4, if we go down here, it says that there are a variety of gifts. There are a variety of gifts. And the first thing to know about spiritual gifts is that they are just that. They are gifts, right? They are not earned. They are given. They are not generated by us, by our works or our efforts. They are given by the Holy Spirit, and they reflect the character and the will of God when they are carried out. You want to know how you can know for sure if your gift is a spiritual gift that is given from the Lord? It will always reflect the character and the will of God when they are carried out. It will always reflect the character and the will of God when they are carried out. It is important to understand, though, that spiritual gifts, they are different than your talents, right? Like you see, we are all talented. We all have talents. When you were born, the Lord blessed you with amazing abilities. Abilities that you have developed over your lifetime. But God places these talents and abilities in everyone, believers and unbelievers. He places them in them when they are born. There are very talented unbelievers out there. But when you are born again, your second birth in Christ, that is when you are given your spiritual gifts. So just because something is your talent, it doesn't mean that it is your spiritual gift. I used to joke with my students that I had the spiritual gift of dodgeball. Like I would just be like, my spiritual gift is the gift of dodgeball. I could defeat an entire room of middle schoolers in a game of dodgeball. That was my spiritual gift. Now, obviously, that isn't true, right? My talent for dodgeball does not always reflect the character and the will of God. That is not my spiritual gift. Just like you can't say that your spiritual gift during this quarantine time is that you have the ability to watch an entire season of The Office on Netflix in a single day. That is not your spiritual gift. I'm not even sure that that's a talent. No. Instead, maybe you have the gift of encouragement. And you can call your friends and your neighbors during this time to build them up and to pray for them. Or maybe you are super athletic, right? And you say your spiritual gift is your ability to play your sport well. Nope. That's not your spiritual gift either. But maybe your spiritual gift is evangelism, and you can use your ability or your platform to proclaim the name of Jesus to all those around you. Your spiritual gift is given by God for God. Now, it will certainly pair well with your talents and your passions, but your talent is used to enhance your gift. And so it says here in verse 4, it says that there are a variety of gifts. There are a variety of gifts. Now, some of you may have the same gift, but everyone's gift is manifested in a different way. It is unique to you and only you. You are the only one in the entire universe that is able to use your gift like you. You are weird. You are. You are extraordinarily weird. Go ahead and turn to whoever it is you're sitting next to, your spouse, your kids, your brother or sister, and say, you're weird. You are. You're extraordinarily weird, and no one will fully understand why you are weird in the way that you are. But God will use your weird and unique self to fulfill His mission. There are a variety of gifts, but then as we continue, it says that there are also a variety of service. A variety of service, meaning that not only are there different gifts, but there are also different ministries. Different ways to serve out there for you to use your gifts. Your weird and unique gift is sometimes best suited for a particular ministry, but maybe not another. For example, I love students, right? I have worked with students for over 15 years. My gifts are paired well for student ministry. My gifts, however, are not paired well for, say, children's ministry. Right? Like, I would be a horrible children's ministry pastor. I love small kids, but I love them from a distance, right? I love them over there, right? In fact, I think Doug has a running count of how many times I've literally made a child cry on stage during kids' time. I think I'm up to like 3 or 4 or something like that. Like, I don't mean to, but I'm just not great with small kids. Your gift, whatever that may be, it will be amazing for that particular ministry. And so then Paul says again, he says, not only are there a variety of gifts and a different variety of ministries, but he also says that there are also a variety of activities. A variety of activities, meaning God's various expressions of power are in action through you everywhere. The gift that you have will create action in your particular ministry. And so here's the thing. Sometimes a gift that is given to you is a gift in potential form. A gift in potential form. Yes, God has given you this power. It is from Him and it is for Him. You didn't earn it. You didn't create it. But we are responsible for developing that gift. You are responsible for developing that gift. Your gift of service or leadership or teaching or healing or administrating, whatever your gift may be, they are not going to change the world overnight. You must develop that gift. You have to exercise and refine and use that gift over and over until it reaches its full potential in you. And then, through the power of God, it will change the world. You have to develop your gift. And then down in verse 7, as we continue, this is where it gets real good. He says, to each is given. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit. To each is given. Can you say that with me at home? Go ahead and just shout it at your screen right there. To each is given. People of Pepsi, each person, every one of you is given something to do that shows who God is. Everyone gets in on this. Everyone that is in the Spirit is given a spiritual gift that manifests through you. And so who gets these gifts? Every believer that has ever lived. Everyone who is in Jesus has a gift, a God-given, power-filled, kingdom-benefiting gift. But the tragedy that has become the modern church is that some of these gifts lie dormant in the church for generations. This is why we as the church are a beautiful mess. Because in almost every church out there, the power of the Spirit given to the people of God remains inactive and undeveloped. We are a mess because the church is operating at a power that is less than what God had intended for the church to run on. Because many of you choose to ignore and remain ignorant about the gift that God has given you. Now, don't get me wrong, the church is incredible. It is powerful. It is a beacon of hope that proclaims the love and sovereignty of our God. The Lord will use the church powerfully to build His kingdom, and not even the gates of hell will be able to stand against it. Believe me, we know that the power of the Lord is sufficient, but the church is not operating at its full capacity. We are a few French fries short of a happy meal here. Like because not everyone is getting in on this. Not everyone is using their gift, a gift that is needed in the body of Christ. And so when not everyone is using their God-given gifts, the church has to fill gaps here and there with gifts that weren't created for the task. It's kind of like this. I want to show you something. I've got something here. This right here, you know what this is? This is the very first toolbox that I've ever owned. The very first toolbox I've ever owned when I first got married, and Savannah and I, when we moved out into our own place, right? When we moved together, I didn't own any tools at that time, right? Like any of you guys, when you move out of your parents' house, you kind of have to start from scratch, right? And so you have to go out and you have to buy your own tools. And so that's what I did, right? And I don't remember exactly how I got this toolbox. It was like 17, 18 years ago. So it was a long time, but maybe, I don't know, maybe I went out and bought it, or maybe we registered for it for our wedding, but here's the thing. You guys want to know what the tools that were in it? These were the only tools that I had when I first started off, right here. This little tiny hammer and this screwdriver right here. This was it. And I figured anything that I needed to fix, I could do with these tools. But here's the thing. It didn't take me long to realize that this wasn't going to cut it, right? There were several jobs that I weren't able to do with a hammer and a screwdriver. I needed some real man tools, right? And so I drove to the store and I got myself some real man tools. You want to know what I got? There you go. A bigger hammer and a bigger screwdriver, right? Now I had some real man tools and I was ready to get busy doing some jobs, some chores around the house, right? And I can already see you dudes, you're judging me out there, but I was like 21 years old, right? And to be honest, like any job that I was actually qualified or had the knowledge to be able to do at that time would only take a hammer and a screwdriver anyways, right? Like I couldn't do anything at this time, right? But every now and then a job would come up that would require more than a hammer and a screwdriver. But I was too poor to be able to go out and buy new tools, right? And so sometimes when those jobs came up, I just had to make do with the tools that I had. And so the washing machine breaks down, I would grab my hammer and my screwdriver, and I would try to fix it, right? Or the garage door, the hinges of the garage door come off, hammer and screwdriver, right? The kitchen sink is leaking. I mean, obviously 95% of the time, I ended up making the problem a lot worse than it was before it even started, right? Now, over the years, I've been able to fill this toolbox up with several different tools, right? Like, as projects came up, I eventually got a wrench and a saw and a socket wrench set and pliers and all sorts of tools, right? I filled this one up. In fact, I even got a bigger toolbox. But I got a workbench at home just filled with tools that I've collected. And I've learned over the years that a project is much more easy if I'm using the right tools for the specific job. But here's the thing. A couple weeks ago, I was outside walking around at my house and in our backyard, and I was looking at my kids' playground set, right? And they actually have two playground sets. There was an old one that was at the house when we first moved in. It was kind of old and broken down a little bit, and we had a nicer one that we brought with us from our old house, and I set it up next to the other one. And so I have these two playground sets sitting next to each other, and the kids never play on the old one. And so I thought to myself, you know what? I'm just going to go ahead and tear it down, right? I'm going to take it down, and maybe I'll use the pieces to build onto the existing one, the nicer one, and I'll just kind of make it bigger and better, right? And so my son was there, and so I was like, Caleb, go run up to the garage and go grab my tools. So Caleb runs up to the garage, and he comes back a few minutes later, and do you want to know what he had? He came back with these. I was so proud of him. It brought tears to my eyes, right? I mean, I was like, all right, there you go. Right now I have a socket wrench set, which is what it would have taken to actually take this old playground set down. But it brought back some memories, and so I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go ahead and use these. And so I just went and I just demolished this old playground set. I'm like chiseling away at it, whatever it takes. Like I'm just like tearing it down. And you know what? I got the job done. I did. I got the job done. And when I was finished, I looked down at the wreckage, and I could see that most of the pieces were so destroyed that I wouldn't be able to use them. You see, I made the tools work, right? But the result would have been far better had I used the correct tools. Now, here's where I'm going with this. I wonder if this is what the church looks like to God. Like, is this his church, this toolbox that is filled with tools that aren't used? Are there tools or gifts that God has uniquely made for ministry in his church that are not being used? Like, is the church running off of a screwdriver and a hammer when what it really needs is some wire cutters or a tape measure? Like, are we just making do? Is everyone getting in on this? You see, in order for the church to not be a beautiful mess, everyone needs to use their unique gifting from the Spirit to build the kingdom of God here and now. Your gift, if your gift is unused and lying dormant, then the church is suffering because of that. I'll say that again. If your gift is unused and lying dormant, then the church is suffering because of that. Friends, we are in a time when the church needs to be running at its full potential. Like we are in a new season of life here, and when we can't physically gather to meet and to encourage each other and to build each other up, then we need everyone's gifts being used right now. It's an all-hands-on-deck type of situation that we are in, and we need all gifts that will help us navigate through this time in order to be a good church. I can't help to think that there may be gifts out there that if we tapped into, the church of God would explode here in Parker. A revival could break out and thousands of people could come to know the love of Jesus. Only if these gifts were being used. See, the passage says, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit. For what? For what? It says, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. The common good. Your gift isn't just good for you. It's good for everyone. In fact, your gift isn't even about you. Using your gift isn't just about you living up to your full potential. It's about others. It's always about others. It is for benefiting others. Your gift is essential for others. Essential. Now, that word has a new meaning nowadays, doesn't it? Right? Essential. As orders of the stay at home have come gone into effect, people are mandated to stay in their homes. Now, there are, you know, some people and some jobs and some activities that are considered exempt because they are essential, right? Like medical workers, essential. Public safety workers, essential. Grocers and markets, essential. Postal services and delivery services, essential. Gas stations, essential. Chick-fil-A. Folks, I've been telling you for years, essential. Essential, you're darn right. Chick-fil-A is essential. We all know America ain't gonna survive this outbreak without the Lord's chicken sandwich. Come on. And guess what? Guess what? The government has deemed the church essential. Essential. That's right. The church is essential. We can't gather to fellowship and to worship right now, but those who put together the online worship service are allowed to do so because it is considered essential. But friends, we know that the church isn't a building. We know that, right? Like it's not just the 7 or 8 of us that are here today. It is the people. It is you. If the church is essential, then you and your spiritual gifts are essential to the body of Christ. And so I don't care who you are or what your job is. If you haven't heard it before, let me be the first to tell you, you are essential. And the church will need you now more than ever. Your spiritual gift, it will not only be good for the body of Christ, but it'll also be affirmed by those around you. If you think you have the spiritual gift that no one else affirms in you, then maybe that isn't your spiritual gift, right? Like, I could go all around all day and say that I have the spiritual gift of mercy, right? Like, I'd be like, I have, the, you know, the Lord's power is shown through me in the mercy that I show other people. And if you've known me for longer than 3 minutes, you'd be like, yeah, I strongly disagree. Like, that ain't true, right? Like, and I know that, right? My gift is not mercy. I know that. You know that. My wife certainly knows that. In fact, I think she just commented amen in the comment section right now, right? Like your gift will be affirmed by others. It'll be encouraged and it'll be grown through that. Now, here's the thing. As we end this passage, there's this list of spiritual gifts that are given. And there are actually a couple different passages throughout the scriptures that list out your spiritual gifts. Right here in 1 Corinthians 12 and then in Romans 12, it also has a list and talks about it. Ephesians 4, right? But what is most important is not that you have them all memorized and know what all the spiritual gifts are. What's important is that you know yours and you are developing it. If you don't know what your spiritual gift is, there's different ways. There's like spiritual gift tests out there, and you could seek counsel from wise people. You could read through the scriptures. Like as we read through this list in 1 Corinthians 12, it talks about wisdom as a spiritual gift, knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, distinguishing different spirits, tongues, the interpretation of tongues. And later in this passage, it talks about apostles, prophets, teachers, helping, and administrating. In Romans 12, it includes service, exhortation, generosity, leadership, mercy. Ephesians lists the apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers. There's a lot of different gifts out there, and a lot of ways that you can use those gifts, and a lot of ways that those gifts manifest within us. Like the passage says, there are a variety of gifts in a variety of services that those gifts are lived out, and in a variety of action that results from these spiritual gifts. There is a variety, which is awesome, right? Which is why I'm going to invite Matt and the worship team back up here as I close, because none of my gifting manifests into anything closely resembling musical ability. And so I'm going to have them come back up here to close us out. But here we are. So here we are. We are the church. Right? The church. We are a beautiful mess. But when we all take the time to discover, develop, and deploy our spiritual gifts, then the church begins to look a lot less messy and a lot more like Jesus. The church will bear fruit. That is actually how we know that our spiritual gifts are active in our lives. Because our lives will bear fruit. Our lives will bear fruit. Paul tells us in Galatians that if the Spirit is active in our lives, that the fruit will be evident. The fruit of the Spirit will be evident in our life. You won't have all of the spiritual gifts, but the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If you are using your spiritual gift, those fruit will be evident in your life. You'll have more fruit than you know what to do with. It will be dripping off of you. That fruit that is created through the use of your spiritual gift is the measure of a church that is beautiful. Father God, I just thank you this morning. I thank you for your word. I thank you that you have given each of us, that you have blessed each of us with a gift. But God, I pray that we would use those gifts. I pray that we would use those gifts to continue to build your kingdom here on this earth. And in this time, God, that we are in right now, when we can't gather together, God, I pray that we would figure out how to use our gifts and adapt it to this time. To bless the world, to get your message spread throughout the world. Your message of love, hope, and encouragement. God, we need it now more than ever. And so, God, we love you. And we thank you. And we pray all this in your Son Jesus' name. Amen.